obviously we're all watching the West Elm Caleb drama, even if, you know, we live in Chicago, like me.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. Rachel, I have to ask, have you been seeing the TikToks about West Elm Caleb?
Okay, so I think when I was on TikTok about 2 or 3 days ago, it just started crossing my FYP, and I was like, oh, this is gonna blow up. It did mostly remind me of how much I hate dating, though.
Tell me more.
I know how much you love hearing about my dating life, so I'm finally gonna tell you the story of the worst date I ever went on. Picture this, a young girl, I think I was like 19 or 20. I definitely could not drink at this point. I was in DC interning. And so I was like, let me go on a few Tinder dates while I'm here, because I was stupid. And I went on a date with this dude who worked at the DOJ. And never go on a museum date for your first date, because it's A, too long, and B, you get trapped. So 2 hours into this first date, where, to be clear, I am ill. I had a cold at this time, and this is before people stopped going outside when they were sick. We're sitting down, and the conversation is petering out. And he turns to me, and he says, why did your parents name you Jessica? And I was just like, they didn't. They didn't name me Jessica. That's not my name. And he was like, what? And I was just like, it's been 2 hours, and this bitch does not know my name.
So what happened after that date?
So, again, I was young and stupid and ill. So I continued on this date for another 30 minutes. I was hopped up on Dayquil. Don't come for me. But I never saw him again, because I did not respond to any of his messages after that. Because the first one was, I don't know if the name thing threw you off, but I'd love to get dinner again.
So you ghosted?
Yes, but I think it was a well-deserved ghosting.
This is a morally neutral, no judgment zone. Factually, you ghosted.
I did ghost him.
All right, Jessica, I'm not going to make you reveal any more of your online, your online dating horrors today, because we simply need to talk about Caleb.
Hey, we have to talk about West Elm Caleb, don't we?
We do.
On the show today, we're going to be talking about the phenomenon that is West Elm Caleb over on TikTok, because I think at this point it's accurate to call it a phenomenon.
The audacity of a straight white man with a fucking mustache. The audacity!
West Elm Caleb this, West Elm Caleb that.
I would give anything to be in the room when West Elm figures out why they are currently trending on TikTok. They're going to be like, who's West Elm Caleb?
We have heard from, I would say, at least 6 listeners asking us to talk about this.
Oh, I'd say that's a conservative estimate. That number is more like double that and still rising. Here is a note we got from a listener named Lee.
Hey, ICYMI, big fan here who's been swept up in the West Elm Caleb drama. I need a deep dive, I need a breakdown, and any hot takes on the state of modern dating, period.
Well said, Lee. You know, this thing, I just keep thinking about how it has blown past being about a person into a larger conversation about, well, dating, obviously, and within dating, what we owe each other in, you know, online romantic pursuits. You know, it's also about the collective power of women gossiping. And mostly, I think it's about what happens when your whisper network is co-opted by the whole internet and they're treating it like it's reality TV and not real people's lives. We went straight to the source and talked to some of the women who are actually living this hellish experience. From them, you're going to get the true story behind the TikToks.
I went on one date with him on Saturday and then one on Sunday. So on Monday evening, then he texts me this long paragraph about like someone made a video about West Elm Caleb. And so I go, oh shit, he has seen the video himself.
Well, in the beginning, it was great. He made me dinner one night. We got pizza another night. He took me to the Met and like got coffee. And then I logged onto TikTok. And it was sort of nauseating. My like stomach sank when I read West Elm Caleb on my phone.
I was like, this is hilarious. And I immediately like show my roommates, because they knew about all this, like the whole situation and how I was like upset about it. And I was like, this is a thing. He does this to women. Like, he is known. And then I immediately made my own video.
I'm really glad we're going to hear from these women firsthand. Just to note, since recording these interviews, some of them have received death threats. So we're going to be using pseudonyms for all of them to protect their identities. But before we hear from them, Madison, who exactly is West Elm Caleb?
I am so, so ready to answer that question for you, Rachel, after a quick break.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy, as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Alrighty, we're back.
We're back, and who is Caleb? And why does TikTok know who he is? What has he done?
All right, so West Elm Caleb is a 6'4" New Ooh. Yorker who reportedly designs furniture at West Elm, who many women on TikTok have accused of quote-unquote love bombing and ghosting them.
Ugh, love bombing is really the internet's current favorite word, along with narcissist.
To give it a definition, I'd say it's when you shower somebody with an overwhelming amount of affection, you know, love, mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily genuine because you're doing it to get something you want. And that could be a date with someone or sex with someone or a couch. My couch is really crappy. So I might love bomb someone for a couch. It's icky, like describing that. It doesn't sound like you're describing a great person. To be clear, it's also not a damn crime to be sort of a skeevy dater.
It is not. And to be clear, it is, in fact, apparently a trait of narcissists, which is what the internet is currently diagnosing everybody with. Ghosting, on the other hand, is also not a crime, also shitty. And it is what I did to the man who called me Jessica, which is where you up and vanish on somebody that you were previously dating or had gone on a date with.
You were being confessional, so I feel that I owe you. Look, not proud of it. Have I ghosted many a woman? Yes. Yes, I have. Did any of them call me by the wrong name? No. No, they did not. And I ghosted them anyway. So look, those who live in glass houses, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I feel strong in my house. My house is made of brick.
Anyway, last week, a woman named Mimi Shu, a.k.a. at memes on TikTok, that's M-E-E-M-S, posted a sort of throwaway joke about getting ghosted by a guy in New York named Caleb.
Is this the Caleb?
And here is where the troubles begin. No.
It's so
it
early.
It is not. True.
We just got started and the troubles are already going.
Yeah, it's Northern Ireland, baby. In the comments, people are like, is it the West Elm guy, LOL, and bruh, not West Elm Caleb? And apparently, Mimi says people also slid in her DMs asking if it was this Caleb who says he works for West Elm. That's not the Caleb that Mimi went on a date with. Turns out she went on a date with a tall guy named Caleb who does not work at West Elm. Mimi says that West Elm Caleb later slid into her DMs to say, you know, this isn't about me. But it means that this entire saga actually started with a case of mistaken identity. Like, let's say Mimi had gone on a date with a guy named, I don't know, Charles or Connor or Christopher. None of this likely would have ever happened.
It's like the butterfly effect. I love it.
Precisely. Just
what's the hurricane?
All right. So the hurricane is, now that the name has been invoked, West Elm Caleb blows up on TikTok. Women start posting their own stories alleging negative experiences they've had with him. And it turns out Caleb appears to have burned through so many women in New York. It's almost an impressive number. And these women are fed up. This is a woman we're going to call Heather. Heather dated Caleb and posted a video about it on TikTok.
I went on one date with him on Saturday and then one on Sunday. And I get tagged in a TikTok video on Monday evening from a different creator. And she posts a video and goes, I just have to let everyone know about this West Elm Caleb. So I get an Instagram DM from someone who I didn't know, just a request. And she sends a long paragraph. I know that you've been like really happy seeing this guy named Caleb. I just watched you like get ready with me videos. And you were describing him as like a tall Midwest boy. And I want to let you know that I have been dating Caleb for the past 6 weeks, leading up to this past Saturday. So that was the next DM that kind of like lit a fire where I confronted him and he admitted, he goes, yeah, I was dating her. I haven't seen her in a while. And I called bullshit on that. I go, did you see her on Saturday? And he goes, yeah, you know, she was here on Saturday, actually, now that I think about it. So the lies just started to come and come and come.
So, okay, clearly he's dated a lot of women, which, you know.
Who among us?
But, like, what exactly are they accusing him of besides dating a lot of women?
Exactly. He allegedly spent a lot of time pursuing these women, texting them constantly, often identical messages, sending them Spotify playlists, telling them like how happy he was to meet and find them, only to then end up ghosting. Honestly, nothing in that story strikes me as out of the ordinary.
I was about to say, this feels just par for the course for dating in New York, especially. It's also fascinating to me that none of these women are Black, but that's a story for another day. Caleb, diversify your dating streams.
Don't wish that on anyone else.
Well, I still don't know what he did.
And that's the thing. At first glance, this looked like a really dark but funny story about women exposing a guy who doesn't know how to treat women well. But as the videos piled up and more information came to light, it turned out Caleb wasn't just, you know, ghosting women. Some women have alleged he was also sending unsolicited dick pictures, which that's not okay.
Understatement of the year.
We actually spoke with a woman who we're going to refer to as Carrie, who says that Caleb sent her unsolicited pictures on two separate occasions.
We were in the cab and I'm like in the backseat with my roommates and I get a text from him and it's a picture. It's a mirror selfie of like his whole everything in it. He's wearing his boxers though. And then, you know, conversation persists. We get in line to a bar, my roommates and I get another out of the blue. I'm pretty sure I get a mirror selfie of him similar to the last one and his dick is out. And I don't remember it that much, but I remember being like, what the heck? What was that? And, He just like made some excuse about like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have sent it, like blah, blah, blah. And then next morning I text him and I'm still excited about the date, even though I got that picture from him. But then I text him like, hey, are we still on for coffee? Like, when are we going to go? And I didn't get an answer. And then a week later he texts again, like, hey, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, hey. And then we had a conversation and it was just basically along the lines of, me being pissed that he like ghosted me twice. And then him being like, I'm sorry, like I freaked out, blah, 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 whatever. And so we're texting a little bit. And at the same time, he adds me on Snapchat. So we start Snapchatting, but I'm still pissed. Like, so he Snapchats me a picture of his face. I Snapchat like a picture of the TV or something. And then like a couple more go by and we're still talking. He said, it's big and I just don't know how to use it. That's the problem. And I said, why do I find that hard to believe? He says, I don't know what to say. I felt like expectation was coffee and a post-walk deep dicking. And I was like, look, I offered a walk. I offered coffee. Like, I don't know what more you want. He was like, let's have lunch. And I was like, I will meet you out for lunch. And then he was like, okay. I said, name the time and place. And then at the same time, I got a Snapchat and it was a picture again of his dick.
Those allegations are really fucking gross, to put it lightly.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about unsolicited pictures, they're invasive, they're presumptuous. you could construe them as violent. I do feel like we should actually note, and I learned this in the course of reporting the story, it's not illegal in New York, where all this went down, to send unsolicited pictures. There has been legislation in the works for years in New York City that would criminalize sending unsolicited pictures. It's, you know, known as the anti-airdrop dick pic law, but that's not on the books yet.
Just rolls off the tongue.
The anti-airdrop dick pic law. but what it does is it puts this behavior also in the same bucket of, you know, gross but not illegal things that happen to people dating in the internet age of 2022.
I think it's also important to note that the end all be all of adjudication on this kind of behavior should not be our notoriously terrible legal system. There are so many bad things that are legal, and there are so many things that are legal that shouldn't be. Whether this is illegal or not, whether the legal system can step in or not, this behavior sucks. It sucks to be on the receiving end of this. It feels incredibly violating. But the kind of West Elm Caleb of it all does raise the question of, what should the punishment for a toxic dater be? Because it sounds to me like this is spinning out.
That would be a correct read, right? You know, sucks is a really good word, and I just keep using that to describe this. It sucks on all accounts. It sucks that this happened to these women. It also sucks that a little Googling and TikTok watching, and you can find people broadcasting, like, this guy's hometown, where he went to college, his full name, where he lives, his specific neighborhood in New York City. The West Elm Instagram comment section was completely spammed. Somebody even claimed to have tracked him down in a line on a city block waiting for a freaking COVID test.
I mean, the technical alleged word for that seems to be allegedly stalking.
But, you know, it makes me pause. The situation gives me pause. Mm. And do I think that this dude did some shitty things? Absolutely. Do I think this dude will probably be fine in the end and there's a company somewhere in a room plotting out how to give him a brand deal? Also, probably yes. But I have some thoughts. We should note Caleb did not respond to our request for comment, and his phone appears to have stopped accepting calls.
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
In a text to a woman we're calling Beth, Caleb said he was feeling, quote, shocked and pretty traumatized. Here she is.
So at first I felt really upset at myself, at him, because I was jaded, like I was hurt, and other people were going through the same thing. But in the grand scheme of it, it sort of made me feel better that there was a community on TikTok. Like, I had other women who went through the literal same exact thing I did. So it was sort of nice to be empowered by them that I wasn't alone. Part of me felt a little sad for him because I was like, your whole life was just blown up on this app. And now, quite literally, I think everyone in New York City knows who you are, what you look like. But then a part of me was also like, this sort of seems like a manipulation tactic in a way. So I had to like pull back and be like, oh, a part of me feels sad for you. But then I was like, now's not the time to address this. Like, we can address this problem first and then you can be shocked and traumatized. But that's not my issue right now. I do think he needs to be held accountable. But I also think this is creating like really great dialogue among groups of women or like groups of people in general who might experience like love bombing or like manipulative behavior. So it's been a good learning experience. A sad learning experience, but a learning experience.
I mean, I understand why Beth is feeling this conflicted. We've talked in the past about what it means to become the internet's main character, and that's when you're the main character for doing something like sitting on a couch. West Elm Caleb has become the main character for doing something that sits squarely in this murky area of bad behavior. And on some level, personally, as a woman, hearing that other women are uniting and kind of protect each other makes me believe in the promise of the internet. And then there's the other side of this 27-sided dice of how this has become this worldwide jury of observers where almost no one really has all the facts and are still going full pitchforks.
So that murky area you're describing, that's exactly where we're headed. We're going to delve into the messiness and get at what we're actually talking about when we talk about West Elm Caleb, because at this point, some toxic combination of TikTok's algorithm and the internet's voracious appetite for drama has turned this into something so much bigger than the story of one dude accused of doing some shitty things.
We'll get into all of that after the break.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
Where to Be a Woman is the podcast celebrating the best of women's well-being. I'm Sophia Smith-Gaylor.
And I'm Saatchi Kaul.
And we're on a quest to find out where in the world women are living their best lives.
We're hearing from some incredible women about what their countries are getting right.
And picking the best bits for our female fantasy land. Because you can't build it if you can't imagine it first. Where to Be a Woman from the BBC World Service.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Welcome, new listeners. We are so glad to have y'all here. And in case you missed it, we come out twice a week. Our episode on Wednesday was about AOL Instant Messenger and its lasting legacy on the internet. I perhaps disclosed the fact that my internet boyfriend may or may not have been a catfish. You should definitely check that out. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And we're back, sitting on Madison's West Elm couch.
We are sitting on the couch and we are scrolling through TikTok. And at the point of recording this, the West Elm Caleb hashtag has some 30 million views.
Jesus Christ.
As women on TikTok start seeing the videos of this drama going through their feeds, they've also started posting about their own awful experiences with other dudes who do crap, like Ghost. And it turns out West Elm Calebs at large are a lot more common than you might think. Or actually, they're probably about as common as you think.
I was going to say, I thought they really were pretty common.
I heard it leaving my mouth, and I knew it was wrong the minute I said it.
West Elm Caleb, dime a dozen, to be quite honest.
We actually talked about that shift from West Elm Caleb the person to West Elm Caleb the trope when we talked with Heather.
My first take, like when I first made my video, I wasn't going to post a photo of him. I didn't even, in my videos, I described him as a tall Midwest boy. So I respected privacy up to the point of when people were using it as a jargon. Like once it became a phrase and it was a trend to ease confusion, then I started to use it just because I noticed that like people in London were making videos kind of trying to piece together the puzzle. And I was like, okay, I'm a primary source here. I'm going to step in just now that this is a thing, right? But the boundaries between like what is personal public knowledge, I mean, there's been a lot of really good takes about like women have gossiped in history and this is how they have stayed safe. But it does get to a really interesting point about like this man's privacy. And what does that mean? And now it's interesting too. Like I keep thinking, I saw a video yesterday, like, hey, girls in Los Angeles, who's our West Elm Caleb? So it is really interesting that like, if girls in different cities start to mobilize about like, who are the bad men in our city? And like someone made a really smart comment on one of my videos, like there are millions of West Elm Calebs in New York City right now. There are many of people that treat people shitty, women and men, everyone on like the gender spectrum. Like all of us can be bad daters too.
Amen. This whole thing reminds me of a story from a few years ago. A group of women in DC found out that a guy had scheduled them all to go on a date with him in the same night in succession at the same bar.
Oh.
And they ended up, yeah. And they figured it out. Yeah, they figured it out and they ended up ditching him. And a bunch of the women wound up drinking together in a bar across the street. And the comparison then, as now, was, you know, it's got John Tucker Must Die vibes, which is a movie about a group of women who are all played by the same man, John Tucker, who band together to take John Tucker down.
Okay, let me guess. Does he always use pet names like Baby and Sweetheart? Yeah, it's not out of affection. It's so he won't mix up your names. And he's all about an unspoken bond or something special, but never about a relationship. And the whole arrangement was your idea, so you feel guilty that he cheated.
Oh my God, you're dating John too.
No, I just knew a guy like him.
Clearly based on the fact that it stars my girl Ashanti, it's an incredibly fun movie where a group of women get their revenge on this one man who is like two-timing all of them. But it kind of actually is a perfect highlight of the issues at play in the West Elm Caleb story, which is that, yeah, Caleb, horrible dater, does not seem to understand how to interact with women and should probably stay off the internet for a hot minute. But this also isn't a movie.
Rachel, I have to ask, do you remember how that movie ends?
Yes. He has a redemption arc. He, comes out at the end a better, fully formed person, and Penn Badgley is involved. Like,
he doesn't die. John Tucker, in fact, does not die.
He does not. Which, I feel like all the people referencing it in regards to the West Elm Caleb saga seem to be forgetting.
And Caleb is not the only one experiencing the ramifications of this news cycle. The women who have spoken about him, they're also getting harassed. Here's Carrie again.
I have had a lot of anxiety about it just because, like, from going to, like, being nobody, not that I'm a somebody now. I want to make that clear. I'm not anybody. But from getting, like, your face posted places and for people I haven't talked to in years being like, West Elm Caleb, I'm like, I know. Like, I know my face is everywhere. Like, I am aware. So it's been kind of exhausting, and I kind of wanted to blow over soon because I'm like, oh my God, like, this is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And as we said at the top, some of these women are getting death threats. And this kind of groundswell of women speaking up about their interactions with him and the other West Elm Calebs of the world has created this weird, almost mob mentality that isn't interested in nuance and only wants what they think is justice.
And I mean, let's be clear. I feel like justice is very much getting conflated with shame over the course of this story.
It is. And it's hard to even say what justice would look like here, especially when what passes for traditional legal recourse in this country would not only be incredibly fucked up, but if there was a law on the books about this kind of behavior, not ghosting, but the unsolicited dick pics of it all, it would be unequally applied. And I don't actually think that's what we need here.
What we do continue to need are whisper networks, because whisper networks like this are important and they're useful tools when it comes to dating and professional life. And it is amazing, truly, full stop, no questions, to see women and marginalized people come together like this and harness technology.
West Elm Caleb TikTok is literally so secondhand embarrassment for me right now, because I actually dated a West Elm Caleb fetishizer edition for like 2 years. But I do want to say, like, it is absolutely brilliant when women communicate with each other about who they are dating. And I call that brilliant because I know, and it feels like a lot of these women feel stupid. And I just want to be clear that these people are predatory. These men are empty and broken and want to do their work through women.
It goes without saying, or it should at this point, that there are definitely predatory men out there. And the one that this TikToker is talking about sounds like a piece of shit. But whether that label applies to Caleb is a choice that only the women who actually know him can make. All three of the women we spoke to specifically said that, yeah, Caleb's behavior was shitty, but he doesn't deserve to be doxxed or harassed or for him to lose his job. This is no longer a whisper network. In many ways, the whispering has become shouting. And once we find ourselves cheering for a man's downfall who we don't know and hoping for revenge that is not ours to seek, we have kind of lost the fucking plot.
The original point of these networks is almost always about protection. And this story has become warped to be about punishment, which ultimately doesn't really protect the people who were supposed to be protected in the first place.
So, Madison, I feel like we've ended up in the place we always do, which is somewhere really ambivalent.
The Valley of Nuance.
Welcome to the Valley of Nuance. We don't have any answers here, just questions. One more question for you. What's the takeaway here?
Okay, I thought I just gave kind of a nice takeaway. I thought the protection, punishment, I thought I did it. What do you think is the takeaway?
Oh, perhaps the most important one. Never trust a white man with a Spotify playlist.
Okay, that's the show. We will be back in your feed on Wednesday. Please subscribe. It's free and the best way to make sure that you never miss an episode. Please leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and tell your friends, tell your Whispered network about us. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at @ICYMI_pod, or you can always send us an email. We are ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. Our supervising producer is Derek John. We are edited by Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank. Amber Smith is Senior Manager of Podcast Audience Development, and Alicia Montgomery is Executive Producer of Slate Podcast. See you online.
Or at a West Elm.